Hey, podcasters, Claire, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, we had an eyewitness account of the terrible Sydney stabbing.
Our own Adrian Barrage pays tribute to the one and only retiring Aaron Sandilands at Frio.
We find out about your unlikely celebrity obsessions.
And Koshy helps us make 10K in just 20 days.
Mate, you got a couple of bucks?
Yeah.
This Big Breakfast catch-up is for ABC Blinds up to 50% off sale.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
We don't have a lot to complain about, do we? Let's be honest with what is going on our planet. And in Sydney yesterday, a knife-wielding man allegedly stabbing a couple of people. The drama was great and it was captured on, there was footage of this incredibly awful situation there. And the footage was taken by a Seven cameraman who was with reporter Andrew Denny, who joins us on the line this morning. And Andrew, something, well, very dramatic, but something you'd probably much rather not see.
Oh, absolutely horrific. And it was terrifying just how quickly it all unfolded. We were coming back, myself and my cameraman, from another news story, actually driving behind the firefighters who you saw in that vision yesterday. And we heard screaming, we heard yelling. I saw this man run past my passenger window. You could see he was covered in blood. You could see he was waving a knife. And we jumped out and just started filming and documenting what was going on. We saw this man jump onto the roof of a car. He was screaming at the top of his lungs for people to shoot him, waving that knife. That car took off. He fell onto the ground. And then from there, this pursuit started through the streets of Sydney. We were there with a number of members of the public trying to distract him, trying to make sure that he didn't go towards large crowds of people, screaming ahead to these people to stay inside, get inside the shops. He's got a knife. Because the biggest concern in the city was that he'd run straight into someone who didn't even see him coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's the terrifying thing, isn't it? I mean, police were, saying good efforts to the guys who actually chased him down. But in many ways, you don't want to get involved because it's so terrifying. It's lucky that everybody jumped on it so quickly.
The people we're talking about here, these are office workers, cafe workers, road workers, people with no formal training in how to do this. Luckily, the firefighters were there. They actually pulled out an axe. There's a large crowbar that they used, and it probably gave people a little bit of a legitimacy that there was emergency services there also chasing this man down. The biggest concern, they said, was just making sure that everyone knew and could see the danger that was coming towards them.
And mate, it must be an extraordinary feeling that I hope I never have to confront, where a seemingly normal drive through probably some busy Sydney traffic just changes, and the whole mood and temperature of a CBD can just completely flip like that.
It really did, and the fact that it can change in seconds was exactly what we experienced yesterday. Confusion was probably one of the first things, and then fear, and then a genuine concern for what might happen next.
Andrew, to see that footage, was that your continuing footage when the man was pinned down with the chairs and the milk crates at that stage?
Yeah, that's right. So there was myself and my cameraman, Paul Walker. I was filming on my phone. He was filming on our news camera. We obviously wanted to document what was going on without knowing at that stage exactly what it was. We weren't sure if it was a robbery, a terrorist incident, a mental health case. But as part of that, we then became part of this group who were really just charging through the city and making sure that there was no more violence.
Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Very brave work.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it's very—it's hard to comprehend the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the footage is mind-blowing. Andrew, all the best, mate. We'll see more on 7 News tonight, no doubt.
Thank you very much.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Speaking of big,
36
years of age, the champion Fremantle Docker, Aaron Sandilands, is retiring. It was announced yesterday, the retirement for the big fella.
Yeah, back page of the West. Thanks for the memories, big fella.
The feeling, the 211-centimetre superstar and giant and multiple Doig medalist and All-Australian, wanted to quit at the end of last year, I think, and he...
They convinced him to stay on.
Have another year and teach the young guys like Sean Darcy what to do on the ruck. But Adrian Barrage is on the line. G'day, Barra. How are you, mate?
Hey, Clancy. Hey, team. Yeah, bit of a sad day, isn't it? One of the great men, one of the great blokes. Clancy, you know him really well as well. Just such a humble giant, but such a talented player. Third most games ever at Fremantle after Pavan Mundy. True great of their club. Two best and fairest, four All-Australians, 370 games, 18 seasons, and the biggest player ever in the AFL is retiring. I think it's really sad. I really love that guy.
Oh, and football has a sneaky way of making us feel old, doesn't it? When 36, you're done and dusted, you got to get out of the game.
Well, actually, Kimber, the magic number in footy is 30. As soon as you turn 30, I remember John Anea, who I played with, he was 29 for like 5 years. He never told anyone he turned 30. As soon as you turn 30, they look sideways at you. You play one bad game and everyone goes, oh, he's too old, he's finished. Whereas if you're a young fellow and you play a bad game, there's no big deal. But, yeah, just a ripping guy. Size 18 boots. They just have imported from America. I remember Dean Cox saying that he used to go into the park and practice leaning and pushing against trees when he was getting ready for a derby because he knew Sandilands was like playing on a tree, Claire.
It's almost 7 foot, mate. It is like a tree. Incredible.
And, Beryl, I mean, apart from being depressed now that I'm so over 30, but what did Sandy bring to the game in a purely sort of football sense?
Incredible, actually, because he has the highest number ever of actual hit-outs. I think it's 8,500 career total, which nobody's going to get close to. He used to average like 20 a match. So he just, he was joking about it yesterday. He said, yeah, my job was just to hit the ball in a certain area, and that was it. So the ball goes up, and I hit it there, and Fifey and that try to get it. But he told some wonderful stories. He told this great story about his daughter, Sloane, when he said to her, you know, Dad might retire. And she said, oh, Dad, you've only just got back to footy. You've been out for years. And then she said, and by the way, man up, Dad, man up.
Oh, really?
Beautiful.
Well, the big fella to toughen up. Hey, Barry, there's one thing that always got me. If you Google Aaron Sandilands, it comes up with his Wikipedia site. He comes up with a photo of him standing in a goal square years ago, in the goal square next to Lance Whitnall of Carlton. And Whitnall was 6'4 or 6'5, and he looks absolutely dwarfed by the young Sandy. It is quite freaky to look at. But, Barry, you know that he's a humble giant, and he hated doing interviews in the early days, didn't he? He learnt how to do it because it became part of his job, but he's just someone who probably even now is uncomfortable in the spotlight.
He played the straightest of straight bats too. He gave you absolutely nothing, but he's a funny guy though, personally. And if he had a dollar for every time someone asked him about his height or said, well, what's the weather like up there, mate? Or something. Like, what size feet have you got? He'd be an absolute multi-millionaire. Well, he probably is a millionaire anyway. But he told another great story about derbies that we didn't know about. That down at Dockerland, or well, certainly for Sandy, in the preparation for a derby, his wife Jenny, who's a wonderful person, would go out and stock up the fridge because if they lost, he didn't want to go out of the house for the entire week. He didn't want to go to the shops, so they had plenty of food. And if they won, they just put the food in the freezer and it was fine. He could go shopping. So he used to sleep crossways on the beds, I remember, too, in the hotels. You know, he couldn't fit into the bed, so he'd sleep crossways, which wasn't very comfortable for the first couple of years until he was a star. So, yeah, just a ripping guy. And they'll miss him down there, no doubt. He's just such a character. And I think that Sean Darcy's a good player that's going to replace him. But in terms of actual character, but you'll see him, guys. You'll see him. He's got a lawn mowing company called Gecko Contracting, and you think that's just bull twang, but he loves it.
No, it's a real McCoy,
He loves getting out there on his ride-on mower, and you know, the giant that he is. It's a very, very funny sight. I might get a shot for the news.
Barris, the 36-year-old goes out of the game. No better evidence of how he's held at Fremantle by the fact that the young players that he had a chat to before the game a couple of weeks ago, they got up and had a win. Sandy was one. When he spoke, people listened, so especially the young guys.
Yeah, well said, Claire. He didn't speak very often, but when he did, he's one of those guys who go, wait, hang on, he's going to say something.
you're tuned in.
So thanks for paying tribute to him, you guys. He's a bloody legend.
Hey, thanks, number 38. All the best. You dead set legend.
All the best. See you, guys.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
We spoke to Koshy this morning.
We did.
David Kosh from Sunrise, because he's doing this special on how to make 10K in 20 days.
Put it all on red.
But quickly, before we hung up the phone...
He didn't say that, by the way.
Before we hung up the phone, I had an extra request of Koshy.
Yeah, that was a little bit cheeky,
Hey, before you go, Koshy, could I get you to say hello to my friend Kate, who is your biggest fan?
Hello, Kate. Koshy here. Love you dearly. Thank you for watching Sunrise.
You legend.
Very good.
Thanks, Koshy.
Well done, mate.
Now, I know that sounds unusual. My friend Kate is like in her 30s, thinks David Kosh is great.
Right.
Loves Koshy. It's not a crush. It's just one of those, she's just obsessed
just
with
likes him.
Him. Loves him.
Yeah.
Thinks he's great. And I sent her that little bit of audio just to make her day. I got, this is the response I got in capital letters.
How'd that go down?
Oh my God. Sitting here with a in shock with a huge grin on my face. Brilliant. Lots of exclamation marks. Thank you. I love him. Right. And I thought, this has made me wonder if people have got some pretty unlikely celebrity sort of obsessions, because he's a bit of an unusual one. He's not like Robert Downey Jr. or anything.
No, no. I mean, I love Lee Lin Chin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Like, yeah. I just think she's the coolest person on the planet.
Yeah, she is cool.
You know, it's not a crush. I just think she's awesome.
Just think she's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got one, Claire's?
You may not think a footballer is an unusual one, but in this case, all of a sudden I started watching the AFLW a couple of years ago. And so when I got to do functions for the Dockers and the Dockers girls, Ebony Antonio and Cara Dinellan were involved, I was like the 50-year-old fanboy. And I think it was more awkward for them because they weren't used to people making such a big deal of them as footballers.
Yes.
There's a couple in real life and all the rest of it, but absolute superstars of the game. And now they're used to it. They roll it to a function. They go, oh, this Claire's, he's going to make a big deal of us. And I think they quite like it now.
Yeah, I love it. I like it that people are not just going for your standard, you know, like I love Brad Pitt and I love,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Everything Perth. For Brekkie, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
My friend Kate is obsessed with David Kosh. She just thinks
so
he's wonderful.
It's an unlikely one, isn't
every
it?
Telethon,
very nice.
Every telethon he's here, she loses her mind.
Really?
She messages me and goes, I can't believe Kosh is here. Like,
did we make
loves
it
him.
Clear that your friend is not, you know, 57?
No, she's in her 30s.
Right.
Do you think Fat Cat's jealous?
Or Basil?
We want to know who your unlikely celebrity obsession is. Maybe you find yourself justifying it to others. Matt in Hilbert, who are you obsessed with?
Dick Smith.
Oh, now you've gone too far.
Okay.
What's going on?
I mean, the guy's cool. Like, he's got a helicopter license. He can fly a helicopter. He's run massive, successful national businesses and sold them for huge profits.
Yeah.
He keeps sticking it to the man, like, you know, to the government and all the rest of it, trying to tell them how it should be, and he's pretty right a lot of the time.
Yes.
And, you know, he's run food companies trying to teach us all how to keep our money in Australia, and he's still doing that even today. He's fantastic. You know, if you're on social media, go and follow him. It's pretty awesome.
I love it, Matt. I can genuinely hear the obsession in your voice with Dick Smith. I love it.
Yeah, and Dick, he calls a spade a shovel, doesn't he? He doesn't hold back. He's very outspoken.
No, he tells it how it is, which is, you know, which is pretty cool. That's what I like.
Oh, right. Good on you, Matt. Yeah, that's a nice one. I like that.
Thanks for your call, Matt.
Very Aussie.
Eddie's in Thornley. G'day, Eddie. Who's your sort of unlikely celebrity obsession?
Well, guys, believe it or not, the lovely Kimber right next to you.
Oh, stop it.
Join the back of the queue, bud.
Lord, we're not surprised
stop
by that, Eddie.
Oh, come on, guys. She's got to put up with two of the biggest rat bags on radio. No excuse to.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And she pushes both in line, which is good to see.
Is that all, though, Ed? Is there other traits of Kimber's personality?
She's outspoken. Yeah, she's vibrant. She's bubbly. She makes a station worth listening to.
Eddie, that's so kind. Thank you.
What, are we invisible?
Oh, that's sweet. And they're good brothers. They're good to me, Eddie. Don't worry.
Oh, I know they are. But they're just rat bags. And someone needs ketting in line and you do it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
That call was organised by Kimber before the show.
Yeah, who hooked that up?
Kimber Cahill fan club.
Eddie Cahill.
Thanks for the call, Dad.
Let's go to Belle Divers. G'day, Jenny. Who's the unlikely celebrity you've got a bit of a thing for?
It's Simon Cowell.
Oh, hello.
The entertainment show judge. Controversial over the years, isn't he?
He's just dominant and, there's just something about Simon Cowell. Something about Simon Cowell that does it for me.
Oh, okay. Get a funny feeling in your tummy.
He does. But if you have Simon Cowell and David Welly and the sandwich, awesome.
Oh, hello. Talking.
Well, Simon Cowell, built his reputation. He's not quite as nasty as he used to be on American Idol all those years ago. But
He's also quite funny. I mean, even when he was being the grumpy guy on that show, he was still being funny. He's got some really funny quips in there, doesn't he, Jenny?
He's just a very straight talker, isn't he? It's just something about that. Even if he does wear two tight trousers and two tight tops.
He does.
Well,
he's got a tight face too.
Something about Simon.
Yeah.
So, Jenny, Simon Cowell for the dominance thing, what's the element of David Williams that you like?
Him and Simon together? Oh, my God, that's my idea of heaven.
Oh, right,
man.
Don't they both judge on the same show? Are they on one of the talent shows, Jen, these days?
They do, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The English talent show. And together they just, Oh, it's just, yeah. Oh, my boat.
A Wallium sandwich.
Yeah, it sounds like your computer says yes, Jenny.
A Walliams and cow sandwich.
Go, girl. Well done.
Thanks for the call, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
It's a ploughman's lunch, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow, really does nothing for David Koch now, does it?
Step aside,
David Koch.
Yeah, it's really weird, though. You go to a function in Perth and Tony Gallardi walks in. I go, this is pretty cool. Tony Gallardi's budget here.
Love Tony
Gallardi. Isn't that
Gallardi,
great? Yeah. Local identity.
Local Coburn boy. Just you know, throwing that out there.
Oh, hits from your hood. Yeah. Coming on Fridays. Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Before, he was the legend that is the Sunrise host, David Koch. Of course, a friend of Telethon and a Port Adelaide Football Club president. He was the finance guy at Channel 7, let's be honest, and he got that gig starting off. He's got a new show which is on the telly tonight, all about making some money, making 10K in 20 days. Can it be done? It's on 7 tonight at 7:30, so we thought we'd get Koshy on and welcome him back to the fray, mate. How are you?
Hello, guys. Thank you for having me. Very well indeed.
Koshy, we're pretty excited about this, but I have sold a lot of rubbish on Gumtree, but can I really make 10K in 20 days?
You certainly can. You certainly can. And think what 10K would actually do to people's life. We were tossing around the idea. We thought, you know, so many Australian families and couples are struggling at the moment because the wage rises aren't coming through with the bosses. Costs keep going up and you've got that sort of nagging credit card balance that you can't pay off or get on top of. You may have an unexpected bill or, you know, middle of winter you're thinking, oh, I need to organise a family holiday for the kids, but how am I going to come up with the money? Quick 10 grand in 20 days. We selected two different couples, one that had kids and a couple that didn't have kids, and they were the guinea pigs, if you like, to see whether all of the advice and the guidelines proved to be correct. And I think it was a real eye-opener for them. But if you just focus on it, you can make 10 grand in 20 days.
David, one doesn't want to sort of romanticise about the good old days too much, but I certainly grew up in a household where one parent worked, and that was enough to support a family to live in a, you know, kind of dignified manner. It doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
No, because, you know, it is a cost of a modern lifestyle to try and juggle everything. And sometimes we're too busy earning money to think about managing it. I saw a research report from Udo Home Loans in the last week that showed that 53% of Australians don't know the interest rate they're paying on their home loan, and 59% have never rung the bank to ask for a discount.
Yes.
You know, that's the first step in earning some extra dough and make it.
And get them working. Hey, Koshy, when I first saw the title, How to Make 10K in 20 Days, I thought, it sounded like a working title for a Drew Barrymore rom-com. Mate, have you broken it down? You're not going to take my coffees away. I just want one coffee a day.
No. And remember, it's only 20 days.
Yeah.
It's 20 days. It's not the whole of your life. One of the issues I have when people talk about how to better manage their money, it's all cut. You don't want to end up living like a monk.
Sure.
You know, life's too short for that. So it's about how to get value for your spending dollar, but also how to get rid of stuff that might be valuable to somebody else. So actually consciously saying, do I need all the stuff? And where can you earn extra income? The gig economy means it's never been easier to turn a passion into a moneymaker, to, you know, do odd jobs for Airtasker, rent out a room on Airbnb, plenty of ways that you can easily earn extra cash to get to your 10 grand as well. So we look at the gamut. It's about saving on your costs, but it's also about earning extra money as well.
Good to talk to you, mate. We are looking forward to seeing you over here for Telethon 2019. It's just around the corner.
Yeah, got my invitation last week, so I'm going to be there with me as Ben Backett. So always a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you then.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
This month, enjoy up to 50% off. You know, it's got some extra savings at ABC Blinds.
Good on you, ABC Blinds.
ABC involved with the show here.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Oh, by the way, I should report that I still haven't brought that washing in.
I had on yesterday.
Oh, it's still out on the line. You're just hoping for a second round.
Yeah. It'll freshen.
Well, by Thursday, it might have that smelly smell. You have to wash it again.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay, my friends, I want to tell you about something that happened in Germany and an incredible sting operation.
Oh, the sting.
I wasn't quite expecting that.
Paul Newman and Ryan, what's his name?
Robert Redford.
I was expecting more like kind of Die Hard music or something a bit more.
No, this is the proper sting, okay?
I was expecting a police song, actually.
Okay, so there's a bloke in Oldenburg, which is just near Youngerberg.
Yeah.
A suspect who's been chased by the police, right?
Yeah.
So he gets onto a balcony going, oh, what am I going to do now? I'll jump.
Options. He's got options here.
Unfortunately, on the way, well, maybe fortunately, because it could have broken his fall.
Yep.
He's landed in a wasp's nest.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Awesome. Yeah.
Now, they're not happy.
No. They get really angry.
A, they're angry at him disturbing their nest, and B, they're not fans of crime.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, so he starts running down the street.
The wasp.
Pursued by wasps.
Oh, dear.
And police.
That's brilliant.
So it's a double whammy.
Yeah.
And he jumps into a swimming pool and he gets apprehended. Unfortunately, members of the local police also got stung.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So the wasps at that stage were frenzying. They didn't know who they were stinging.
Yeah.
They couldn't pick good from the bad.
I know. Actually, there's a place in Sri Lanka called Sigiriya. It's a monastery on top of a rock. It's an ancient monastery.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. But as you're climbing up, it's only once you get a long way up that there's a big sign with a cage saying, to be used in case of wasp attack.
Oh, dear. Oh. Just in case.
Yeah.
Oh.
No one told me that before.
Did you get done? Did you jump in a pool?
No, didn't. It was very good. There you go.
Oh.
Wasps.
Crime doesn't pay.
Can you play my Simpsons grab?
I've got something for you. Let's be friends.
Aww.
It says bee, and there's a picture of a bee on it.
Oh, I played it, and now we're going to go all watch the bee movie together with Jerry
Seinfeld.
Cute. Yeah, there you go.
Well done.
The Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
If you're a fan of Troy Sivan, you can see him in the flesh for free.
Okay.
My, that's big news.
This is incredible. He's performing an intimate show at Aloft Perth in Rivervale on September 15, Aloft Hotels. It's part of a Live at Aloft Hotels homecoming tour where they're featuring exclusive artist performances in the towns that shape them for the fans that have been there since the beginning.
Wow. And what, free minibar?
Well, to attend the show, if you're interested in seeing Troy in this intimate close-up situation, you can RSVP at alofthotels.com/homecomingtour until the capacity is reached. And so they've got some pretty limited edition booking going on
there.
Sure. Yep. But he's also kicking off the Bloom Tour at HBF Stadium in Mount Claremont on September 6th. So you'll be able to see him there. But isn't that funny, getting him in just to do a little hotel gig?
It's pretty cool though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit unusual. I'd like to see who else they have on the lineup.
And Troy Sivan, boy from Dianella, from memory, his fans are super fans.
You know, they're obsessed
with him, which is pretty cool.
They sure are. Mm. Guys, Eddie Murphy is coming back to Netflix with Dolomite. It's a film based on the life and work of a 70s legend, Rudy Ray Moore, and his alter ego, Dolomite, the character of a 1975 film. And apparently the movie features a slew of big names.
Okay.
Like Wesley Snipes.
Okay, no, Wesley
Tick.
Snipes.
Yep.
Yeah, great.
Keegan-Michael Key.
No.
Not sure.
Mike Epps.
Right.
No.
Craig Robinson?
No. Yeah. Sounds like he plays for South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Titus Burgess?
Oh, he plays for South Fremantle, yeah.
Oh, how about this one?
I'm not sure.
Snoop Dogg.
Hey, Snoop!
Hey!
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Snoop Dogg. Here's a bit of the show.
Dolomite is my name!
Rudy, sometimes our dreams just don't come true.
A man slammed a door in my face. I just find another door.
I want the world to know I exist. You can write. If I get up in that light with my own movie, I could be everywhere all at once.
Let's bring Dolomite to the screen.
What planet is this cat on?
Oh, imagine if Alof could get Snoop Dogg. That'd be an intimate gig I'd love to go to.
That'd be more fun than just the gig, though, wouldn't it?
They'd set the smoke alarms off. Imagine sprinkles would come on.
Hanging out with Snoop. That'd be hilarious.
Dolomite Is My Name is going to premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival later in the year, and then it will be on Netflix. And, you know, Netflix, there's been the rumours that they've offered Eddie Murphy $70 million for some stand-up specials. But this film, I don't know.
$70 million wouldn't get him out of his mansion.
It's not doing it for me, but we'll see. Okay. And guys, also a quirky fact, one of the most iconic TV characters of all time, Tony Soprano, played by James Gandolfini in The Sopranos.
You remember one thing, this you better hear. You want to talk about this old school bull about the rules? Well, here's a rule you might remember. I'm the mother one who calls the shots, and you better pay me the respect that I gave your brother, or we're going to have a problem.
Huge show.
Right,
love that line.
And
I gave your brother.
Yeah, his son, Michael Gandolfini, is now playing or working in the prequel movie, playing a young Tony Soprano.
Right.
So he's playing the version of his dad.
Oh, really?
And he said before the audition, he never saw a minute of The Sopranos.
You're kidding.
He said, I was a kid while my dad was working on set.
Yeah.
And whenever I said to my dad, what are you working on? His dad said, oh, it's about this guy who's in the mob and kind of goes to therapy.
Which is a pretty good description of the show.
It really hides what really went on, but what a synopsis.
Didn't want the kid to be, you know, sort of witness to all of that.
Yeah, never saw it. Interesting,
mob behaviour, that's incredible.
And, Clancy, there's a birthday today.
Happy birthday to that wild and crazy guy. Mr. Steve Martin is 74 today.
Well, they're not ripping off this nitwit anymore because I'm not paying for one more thing I don't need. George Banks is saying no.
Who's George Banks?
Me!
You know, we made a big deal of Fleetwood Mac being in their 70s and being so brilliant last weekend. This guy's 74. He's back touring at the end of the year at Riverside Theatre with Martin Short and keeps doing it. The wild and crazy guy who plays banjo as well.
Yeah.
What a talent.
Happy birthday, Steve Martin.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Special day today, guys. August 14.
What is it?
National Tattoo Removal Day.
Hey!
It's the day that you sit around in the naughty corner and think about all your regrets.
Yeah, unfortunately with a tattoo, there's no cooling off period.
Not if it's real ink. No. Unlike the non-permanent one you had on your chest recently.
Yes.
You could just peel that thing off, wash it.
Yeah, there's, you know, some people do have tattoo regrets. A lot of people will say, no, any tattoo I've got is artwork on my body and it tells a story of my life or my time and I'm prepared to keep it forever.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, some call it, I think psychologists will call it remorse.
Yes.
Tattoo remorse, like a real thing.
It's true, and a lot of people have been getting them removed. And I looked up a few facts, actually. Do you know, it costs an average of 10 times as much to have it removed as it does to have a tattoo applied.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, for all the teenagers in the car who have been begging mum and dad to get a tat, you can throw that stat at them, 10 times more to get it removed.
Sure.
And I didn't realise this. The closer the tattoo is to your heart and your neck, to get it removed, your body will process it faster.
Oh, right.
So it's not actually the laser that removes the tattoo.
Yes.
The laser just breaks the ink down into small particles and then your skin and your body processes it.
Okay.
So, closer to the heart.
Closer to the heart and the neck, the faster it will process.
It's a bit like buying petrol in Kwinana.
Quite possibly, yeah. Is that about blood supply? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, it is basically blood supply and regeneration, and it's easier when it's closer.
Okay.
But we want to know why you got your tattoo removed. If you've branched out and you've done it.
Yes. Now, obviously, I don't have any because I'm afraid of pain. I like tattoos. My old mate Mango from Edible Pets Band days is well inked.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
And I've talked to him about some of his tattoos that he got as a very young man that he had, you know, some regret over. But he got, like, really good tat artists to then incorporate them into new things.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a lot cheaper and a lot easier to do a cover-up than it is to remove.
It can be a far better result. Yeah, mind you, there's a lot of money now in the removal. So many of the stats are showing so many people are getting the, you know, because of their remorse, they're getting them removed.
Yes.
And the technology gets better as well.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to hear from you. 133353. Why did you get the tattoo removed? We want to know what it was.
Oh, you know, I've told you this before. My favourite tattoo ever was on someone's bum, and it was two hands coming out with a hand on both cheeks.
Let me out of here.
Just hideous.
You hear those stories, don't you? Because, you know, some people get the way they, you know, different languages than that incorrect.
Yes.
And so the meaning is not what they actually thought it was going to be.
Yes, they thought it was Khmer for have a wonderful life and it was buy me a kebab.
Yeah, give me two kebabs.
Yeah,
or it's and the ones I can't work out, those ones that you know might be your mate doing it in the backyard.
Yes.
You get the letter C or something on your chest or something. You go, really? And it looks really ugly, like Mankey. Mm.
Breakfast with the Lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
On this, what are we calling today? Is it the tattoo removal?
It's national.
Yeah.
Let's call it Universal Tattoo Removal Day.
Because you know. When you said we were removing tattoo, I thought it's not my greatest hits album of Rose Tattoo, is it?
No.
Not that.
I thought they were trying to remove the people from the Edinburgh tattoo.
Oh, yeah, it might have been that.
What are you doing? I want to play my bugpipes.
No, we're talking about those tattoos that you think, oh, it simply has to go. Jason's in Naranda. Jason, got yourself a tattoo on your back?
I did some time ago, yes.
What was it?
A nickname given to me by my class, and the Sifu was the one who actually put the actual tattoo in by bamboo, original ink, bamboo tattooing.
Right.
And what... And, go on, mate.
Yeah, and this after a number of years, sort of got outgrew the nickname and thought I didn't like it and had it removed.
Right, what was the nickname, Jace?
Crash.
Crash.
Okay, and was it hard to get it removed?
It took 6 treatments.
Okay. Is that expensive?
Well, it's not covered by private health insurance or Medibank.
No, I bet it's not.
So the answer is yes.
No. Jace, does it cosmetic? So
yeah, and does the treatment really, really hurt? Like getting a tattoo, Jace?
It hurts much more.
Right, does it?
And it's more uncomfortable because it is, you feel burning on the skin.
Yeah, yeah, they're lasering the skin, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so. And it's just, it's like sort of melting the ink under your skin so your body can somewhat break it down.
And how does it look now, Jason? Does it look like you've had a tattoo there but you have to kind of look for it, or is it pretty...
Well, I'm lucky. I've got fair skin, so it very much almost vanished.
Okay.
Almost.
Oh, that's great.
Apart from the freckles, and then you'll be fine.
Okay. So, but you can't bulk bill. That's a shame.
We'll make a claim.
If you're good, it'd be, where do I put the ink?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks, Jase. Thank you.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Look, if you talk about West Aussies that have gone to international fame, you throw in names like Heath Ledger or Dennis Lilly, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do.
In entertainment and sport. And there's, you know, quite a few others, quite a list of West Aussies who've gone to the world. But there's probably no West Aussie more famous than the Quokka.
Oh,
let's be honest.
The Rot Nest Quokka.
It's had a real renaissance, hasn't it?
Well, if you've got, you know, Roger Federer taking selfies and the Hemsworth and
that
whoever
else.
That
was the beginning, wasn't it, Federer?
It started it all. Yeah, let's be honest. And now Tourism Minister Paul Papalia will today announce that September 13 to 15 will be a national birthday celebration for those critters and, of course, the global selfies, the quokkas.
A whole weekend of quokka celebrations.
It's like a triple birthday,
it's
isn't it?
It's not enough to just do it on the one day.
No.
Instead of going to celebrate at Rottnest, there'll be cheap ferry trips over there. There'll be some things in it for the kids and a bit of learning. Yeah. You know, it's what you want.
Look, I'm really happy that the quokka-led recovery has worked. You know, but I do wonder, you know, we've got politicians on good money. No doubt we've got people at the WA Tourism Commission on big wages whose job it is to come up with ideas to draw tourists to this state.
Marketing tourism.
And they've just gone, awesome, quokka. Done.
Well,
let's go to lunch.
They think that quokka-based marketing is working. They say that there was a nearly 10,000 more people visiting Rottnest last year than in 2017.
Okay.
So we're increasing with the quokka marketing campaign.
This article also says they're going to use the world's happiest animal, you know, as the WA state emblem. And I want to know, when you see a photo of a quokka and it looks like they're smiling, are they really happy?
Well,
I just want to say, are you really happy, dude?
That's a very metaphysical question.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're pretty happy. They're laying, I mean, we pay to go to Rottnest.
Yeah.
These guys are just laying around all day.
Waiting for the chips.
Just waiting for chips that they're not supposed to eat.
Yeah.
And just chilling out. And every now and then they have to have their photo taken with a tourist. I mean, it's kind of like all of us.
But what if you're not a beach person?
Yeah.
As a quokka.
Oh, they're hanging at the bakery. You see them.
Okay,
they're opportunists.
Yes,
they're not silly.
No, they're not
silly. Those ones are happy. That's a real smile.
I like those little doors they have there.
Yeah,
they're quokka-proof doors.
The little plastic flaps.
Yeah, well, I'd say they're happy. They're having a good time. But there you go. September 13 to 15, go for the celebration. $50 return tickets for adults. And children travel to the island for free.
And so, of course, excuse me, like August the 1st is the horse's birthday.
Yes.
So from now on, this will be considered the the Quokka's birthday.
Yep. Yeah,
so it makes them Virgos.
Oh well, then they'll make a a fortune in merch at that shop where you go in and buy the soft toys.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Get the various sizes of the Quokka's.
Oh, I've got to get now into we know a their star sign.
We need to get into the tourism and merchandise
puppets.
Hey,
Quokka puppets.
Love it.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt, and Kimber.
It's one of Perth's funniest nights out, and it helps sick kids. Mix 94.5's Laugh Out Loud with Clarzy, Matt, and Kimber on The Big Breakfast.
A fun night, a big night coming up. It's been successful the last few years. Of course, we're helping to raise funds for our Mix 94.5 Kids Appeal with Telethon. This one's on Friday, August 30th at our store.
Yeah, and we're chasing an amateur comedian.
Yes, we are. Well, you've got one sitting right next to you.
Yeah, you're headlining.
Yeah,
that's funny.
No, but we're looking for someone who's never had any stage time to get up and just do a little bit on stage. You get paid for your performance,
you
$500, and it's just an opportunity to have some fun.
Yes, it's not serious.
I
mean, we want you to have a good time and get a few laughs, but don't think too much about it. If you're the sort of person that people go, why don't you do stand-up comedy? Then we want to hear from you if you've never done it before.
This is your moment. You might get your mates in the crowd as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Or does that add too much pressure?
And
I'm not sure.
Well, look, you know what? And people always think that doing comedy is really scary. But know what? You know, unless you're going around saying, I'm the funniest person on the planet, it doesn't matter. You just give it a go.
Absolutely.
And it's a little bit of fun and you could score yourself a good prize.
I mean, you've done it, haven't you?
Even I did it back in the day, stand-up comedy.
How long since you did a stand-up gig? Like a proper stand-up gig?
Probably 4 years.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Probably, except for that one I did with Maddie at the Fringe Festival.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, you were good, you were strong. I had some notes, but you were pretty good.
did you go and...
that was his casual way of saying I beat him in the comp.
Did you go and psych Kimber out and say, are you happy with that material? Hey, it's Kimber. We found Kimber online.
Oh, no.
This is old. This? I don't know what it is. Tom's put it in.
Baby Kimber doing live stand-up. Listen to this.
Craziest thing about all of this was that the males know that they are supposed to be eaten immediately after sex. And so if she doesn't start eating him straight away, the male will actually force himself into her mouth. And I thought, big deal. How is this different from any date I've ever been on?
Oh, maybe we should have
played
this. Hey. Oh, Kimber obviously didn't find that bit.
Hey, when you do stand-up comedy, you can say all the things that you can't say on radio. Until now.
And what's online is online forever.
Is that going to get me fired?
No, that'll get your pay rise.
Do you know that made me feel really sad for male spiders? Because if the female spider doesn't start eating you straight away after copulation, you'd think, was I really bad?
Speaking of spiders.
What?
We've got some more material here.
Okay.
We've got some of Diktinsky on
from
stage.
From our headline act. Thank you very much. Matt Diktinsky.
Go on.
Listen to this.
I know, worst case scenario, it's a daddy long legs, right? So, I go Steve Irwin on her ass.
You know what I love about the audience sort of laughing there is that's the vibe you get when you're at the Astor for these gigs.
Absolutely.
It is so cool.
Yeah, look, don't be afraid. Don't be wussy about it. Just give it a go. All we want you to do is send us a short video or an audio recording to breakfast@mix.com.au. You could score yourself $500, tickets for your friends to come along, and you're just going to hang out with us and have a good time.
We'll look after you.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. It is Mix 94.5. Can I digress just slightly?
Yes. Yeah.
Funniest night of my life with this guy, Stephen Wright.
He's driving down the street past the gas station. There are two signs in the window, help wanted, self-service. So I went in and hired myself.
Just one of those nights where you never stop laughing.
Yeah.
It's a great therapy.
Look, so go to mix.com.au for more information. You can get tickets to the event from Ticketek for $35.50 each. Part proceeds go to Telethon, but we want you to be at the gig, so send in some jokes.
Get involved.
That Big Breakfast catch-up was for ABC Blinds, up to 50% off sale. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.